I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9-to-5 is something that I don't wanna do. Sit in the cubicle miserable as I slave away. Getting complacent with life as my dreams fade away. Nah, motivation to go harder. I'd rather spit that real than probably die harder.
Good morning, good evening, good night, folks. This is your Five Tool Sports Podcast host, Woody Massey, and I'm here with a single tool today. It is Coach Brandon Lumberg.
What's up? Another awesome weekend of football.
Right. And our best wishes to CJ, CSPN McLaughlin, and Nate Nasty Parker as they have ran off to Vegas to elope.
That is a fact. I actually see crazy them kids running down the road together holding hands.
Honeymoon parlay at the sports bet. But man, yep. We are jumping right into it today because we got week 4 NFL football. And Brandon, the background of the painting has been painted. We don't have the objects in the painting. We don't have like the fruit in or the bowl, but we have the table in the photo. You know what I mean? And we're starting to put details in the table, and we're starting to see the cream rise to the top, and the Milky Boys down at the bottom. But let's do a little bit of news here. I mean, you want to start? I think they're starting a new doo-wop group of homeless men behind the giant stadium where the dumpster fire is that Urban Meyer started.
Yeah, that's true. My God.
What? I mean, can it get any crazier?
I mean,
he
you
was
know,
digging
like,
for gold on that blonde there.
Yeah, listen. To be honest with you, man, like we were talking before the show, Urban Meyer, he's got a crazy track record, his background, you know, the rumors and the things that happened, you know, at Florida, you know, obviously citing health concerns before he left there. At Ohio State, he retired after the Zach Smith situation and tried to push all that under the rug. And you know, there's a lot more information and details behind the scenes to that stuff. So it just makes you wonder, like, his decision-making. And Woody, you know, I talked to you guys on the podcast last year about Urban Meyer and how I thought of him. And he speaks really well, right? He's a hell of a salesman. Obviously, he's one of the best recruiters we've ever seen in college football. And he had me sold on the business aspect of sports and connecting it. And, you know, his first big mistake, and I go back to when he hired the trainer from Iowa, who was already being sued for, you know, I believe it's like a discrimination suit. I don't want to say it incorrectly, but he is being sued, bringing him down to Jacksonville after being basically accused of, you know, racial discrimination, okay, at Iowa. And that was a huge mistake. And then you get to this point now, you see kind of how the team is going. You brought up what we were joking last week about his comment about Alabama or every team in the NFL being like Alabama. Yeah.
It just seems like this guy doesn't have a clue when it comes to like context and like real life. He just wants, here's the thing. Classic case. Big fish, little pond. Then they dropped him into the bigger lake. And they're all big fishes.
Yeah. So he's not used to it. He's just used to being the big fish.
You just another big fish now.
Yeah. You're 100% right. I mean, in the Big Ten, ultimately, he was, you know, there was no one going toe-to-toe with him. At first, it was going to be Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh had arguably two good games against him that Harbaugh still lost, obviously, but yeah, nobody. And again, it's the players, man. Like he just doesn't have, if he doesn't have more talent than everybody else, he's not going to be as dominant, obviously, as he was in college. And you can't do that in the NFL.
Doesn't make sense. Like we all thought, okay, the reason why we thought it might work is because he's such a good acquirer of coaching talent. He acquired many great offensive coordinators, great position coaches. So, and he knew all the best athletes in college. So we're like, okay, maybe you can go out, get some dudes that he knew were great, put them in positions to succeed because he scouted them so much already, and then get great coordinators. That coach from Iowa, one of the best coaches in the country when it comes to that. Just guys,
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You're spot on. I mean, yeah. Again, that was a huge, that right there was the biggest. I'm like, how do you?
Well, it's a test. I think he's leaving a trail of breadcrumbs of being a shitty person. Cause he's one that he likes to keep stuff in house, much easier done in college. Cause you have the campus blocks pretty much that like a campus is like a bubble. Like
it is.
It's like a different ecosystem. Like stuff doesn't leak out as easily. Like an NFL organization, this is like a publicly traded company. So everyone is watching everything that you do.
Everywhere you go.
And in college, they're just watching you on Saturdays.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this is they have their own TV network. Like, you know what I mean? Like
you're 100%
constantly
right.
Looking for storylines. They're examining every single thing. And so now when we take a look back in hindsight, Florida, man, he looked the other way a lot on some of those players, as we can see.
Yeah. You know? Tim Tebow overshadowed every negative thing, right? Hernandez. Yeah. What else?
John
3:16. Percy Harvin.
John 3:16 goes a long way.
Yeah. But there was a rumor, and you can look this up, that Tebow witnessed Aaron Hernandez just like knock somebody out at a restaurant. Like, boom, right in front of everybody.
Like, hey, wouldn't want you to do that.
Yeah. I don't understand how this. And he still was like on the team and playing football. It's like, come on, man. Yeah. I think Florida broke a record for arrest his final year. And then like some of those holdovers that were under Ron Zook, still kind of a mess. And there was just a lot of bad still happening when Ron Zook took over. And then they just had to clean it up after Urban Meyer left. So he does have a track record for leaving. I wouldn't say a track record. Florida is the track record for leaving a lot behind. He got to Ohio State. He did change. He wrote a book about it, had a family contract written up. You can look it up online. You can see what he said about
family contract.
Yeah, had, you know, what? He signed it. It was his commitment that, you know, going to Ohio State, that he wasn't going to put, you know, he wasn't going to work like he did at Florida, where he was putting his health at risk. He wanted to make sure he was spending more time with his wife, his kids and family.
And the blondes at the bar.
Yeah. And now you can he broke the family contract. Right. Yeah, so
man, breaking your own family contract. See, that should have been a warning flag there. As nice as that sounds when you think about it. Like only like a piece of crap master manipulator would write up a family contract. Like, baby, I'm a change. These are all the things I'm gonna do. I promise.
Yeah,
I'm a different man now.
It's unbelievable, man.
Yeah,
it is. And look, man, I'll tell you this right now.
And all that Zach said, please come to USC.
Yeah, right. No, don't actually come to Michigan. I want Urban back in at the college level.
You would take Urban over John?
No. I would take Urban back at the college game at a bigger school, say like Miami, right? Or USC, because he'll take recruits.
If he could bring the U back, that'd be pretty.
He'll go toe to toe with Ohio State and he'll rip away some of that talent that goes there. 100%. He'll be all over that. So as a Michigan fan, that would be good news for me. But enough about Urban Meyer, I guess. I don't know. We could talk about this. This is like an hour show.
I know, right? Just over under midway point of the season, he's gone.
I don't know. I
say
like
over.
Resign on his own.
At the end of the year.
Yeah, he could make it to the end of the year. He's a stubborn dude, man. But actually, the owner of the Jags came out today and said that this wasn't, something that he.
Well, there's multiple reports from reporters today saying that players like they're out. Apparently he didn't address the team fully. Apparently he canceled the team meeting the day of because he was afraid.
So he might be out by the end of this week.
He might be.
Holy cow, man.
Yeah, man. Apparently he went to the positional groups and talked to the positions. In little groups, because he didn't want to face the whole team at once, because he's embarrassed.
Grown men, you got to go in there and you gotta do what you gotta do. But, I don't know how you come back from all this.
No, it's true. I mean, we've already spent too much time talking about it as it is. We could talk about it forever. Ben Roethlisberger's done. Yeah, I don't think I need to say anything more. I watched him closely on Sunday. And I even started him in a Superflex league because I was like, oh, he'll bring it to play Aaron Rodgers Super Bowl rematch. Now, he sailed every single pass he threw outside the hash marks. Every single one. Every single one was high. Like he, like 2 feet too high over the most elite athletes in the world that can jump and get things. That's really high.
That's it. That's legit.
Yeah.
Especially the receivers for the Steelers.
Yeah, they have stacked receivers too. Like, he's done. And here's the thing, man. Hall of Famer, alleged rapist, 2-time Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah. There's an asterisk. It has to. I mean, you have to leave that. Honestly, you have to leave that out there.
Bro,
I mean,
if everyone else gets it, if Deshaun gets it, hears it every time his name brought up, it still should be brought up by Ben Roethlisberger. I will never let that die.
Hey.
Did you ever read the court documents? Like what really happened?
No.
Oh, bro, it was horrifying. So, like, he made a security guard go get a girl, said,
oh, hey, yeah, I know that
wants
part.
To meet you. He's down the hallway, says he just starts walking down the hallway, whips out the member while walking down the hallway.
Yeah, not good.
And, like, chases her into a bathroom. Like, real creepy stuff.
That is so crazy, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty nuts.
Did he write up a family contract like Urban?
No, but he did something with Fox News, so it's about the same
thing. Did he?
Yeah. Fox News wrote, like, an article on him.
Oh, and, okay.
Someone sent it to me, like an older person. And I know, and I was just like, man, this is like, this is cute. Then I just sent back the court documents, and they were like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, the parallels to the whole Deshaun Watson. I guess Deshaun Watson, look, I don't know what's even happening with Deshaun Watson right now. Since we're talking about Ben Roethlisberger and you brought up Deshaun Watson, I do want to bring
this
up.
He's still getting paid. He's not on the exempt list.
Okay. So and like, and he's
they don't if teams
they
are
don't have
to pull
a quarterback
trigger,
right now. Why don't they just let the guy play?
Oh, because he's done there. We know that already.
So do you think it's like mutual? Like he doesn't want to play for them and they're just
he doesn't
want to
play.
Trade.
They don't want to risk his injury value. And I don't think anyone knows what this is going to turn into yet.
Yeah.
So the worst thing that could happen to them is he's the face of your franchise and then it turns into a criminal case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it will.
I don't know if it will either. He
you
has
think it would
charges
by now.
Now. There's like 12 criminal charges. Yeah.
Oh,
it's some crazy.
I haven't
stuff.
Followed up on it since we talked. When's the last time we had a really in depth conversation?
That's just, you know, that's how it is. The season starts and the off-season stuff goes to the back burner, and it's just real life stuff can be sick.
Well, hey, like you said, the Steelers could trade for so you trade
that,
one
that
for the other.
That was the question
other.
I was going to ask you. So, if I'm the Steelers right now, and I did some real thinking about this, because they still think that they're a contender. Their window is now, which it is.
It is.
I'm offering the Eagles a third-round pick for Gardner Minshew.
Oh.
That doubles their value. They traded a 6 to Jacksonville. That's the only thing I could see right now because that's what they need is a game manager. At least it's not going to turn the ball over.
Yeah. I mean, you kind of have that with Big Ben.
Not really.
Already, but at least Minshew's
accurate.
He can push the ball.
Yeah, and he's accurate on the short throws. That's the thing.
Yeah. You know, honestly, I like that idea. I like Mitch Trubisky as another guy to keep an eye on. I really do think that's
not
going
to trade him to a contender.
Yeah, you're right. That's true.
Yeah.
Smart thinking there. So Minshew does make some sense. I don't know. Who else is even out there? There's some guys
Garoppolo.
Out there. You brought up Garoppolo. If Lance can just, if the 49ers just say, okay, our season is what it is right now.
I think they're out now after that last week. In that division with how tough it is, you're not going to climb back in it.
I did read earlier, though, that Jimmy G could play this week. So they're trying to push the envelope. I mean, they're 2-2. If they were 1-3, I'd be in the ballpark of, okay, let's start to think about that a little more. If they lose again, and I can't, I can't remember who they actually play this week. Do you know off the top of your head who the 49ers have?
No, but I can look.
I think they have 49ers, yeah. Arizona.
Arizona, that's another tough one. That's probably another loss, honestly.
Yeah, that's insane. That's the make or break. This is their make or break moment, I would say. But again, they're in a division that's going to beat each other up. I mean, the Rams, really, it's Arizona and the Rams right now. Seattle is really good still because of Russell Wilson. Yeah. And then you've got San Francisco trying to figure it out because they can't keep it together with the injuries. But anyway, back to what we were saying. What were we even talking about? Kyler Murray was next.
Well, no, we were talking about possible replacements for Big Ben.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, Big Ben is an afterthought to me. All right. So
what about Andy Dalton?
Yeah. It's That'd be a good one, too.
It's an option, you know.
There's some guys out there that could help.
I think Minshew is the perfect one.
Let's just put it this way. Rudolph is not the answer. We've already seen enough.
I don't understand why he's still on the team. Like, he looked so bad. And I was a Rudolph guy. I loved him. Loved Oklahoma State, right?
Yep.
Yeah. He was great at Oklahoma State.
I mean, deep ball was good, all that good stuff.
We always love those quarterbacks that play baseball. You know, everyone, hey, you can throw baseball, you can throw football.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. Dwayne Haskins, I don't know what is going to come of that. You and I have had heated debates about that and give that guy a chance, maybe.
At this point, Ben is not. Well, it does speak miles that Tomlin said Big Ben is still the Steelers' best option at quarterback.
Yeah.
He came out and said that today. And he's a terrible option. So I think that tells us. Not Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know. I mean, again, Haskins is a guy who can push the ball down the field, though. So if you can stomach the mistakes. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Ben's thrown some decent deep balls. They need a guy who can throw the short passes and has vision. But we'll see. I think Ben.
What about Daniel Jones?
Sure. send us a second round pick.
That's what I'm saying. Send something significant, you know, send him some. I mean, because that's a guy you can bring in and could open things up for your team, too. So,
yeah.
Anyway,
I mean, I still think the Giants like him because they don't want to admit failure, defeat. But I'm out.
I'm not. Hey, look, he's doing good. He's doing enough. He's not. All right. Not enough for you.
No, he's not. He cannot throw the middle stuff. He cannot move the chains. He has one of the best deep balls in the NFL. Above average runner, the throws that move the chains and extend drives, he cannot make.
No, yeah, you're right. We'll look into that. We need to look at that like extensively and like literally have like a discussion about that because we could honestly sit down and pull data for like Big Ben, Kyler Murray, Daniel Jones, and kind of look at what really separates guys like that. You know, like what is the difference between a Daniel Jones and a Kyler Murray other than the obvious, but what are the statistical differences? And sometimes you look at it and you're like, it's minor things. It's the underneath stuff that they can do. It's the athleticism that one guy has over the other. So yeah, we could definitely dig in a little deeper on stuff like that down the line, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. We'll dive into that in the future a little bit. Let's dive into the games though. New England versus Tampa Bay, our regular season Super Bowl. First rematch of Tom Brady and Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
Since the divorce.
It felt like a Super Bowl the way it was playing out that day.
Tom took the kids, the wife, the house, the car. And Bill's just over here trying to pay alimony and rebuild a franchise.
Yeah.
And everything played out perfectly for Bill. You were all over this one. You thought it was just going to muck it up. Bill and Josh were going to bring out the trick plays, the running in and off the field for the punts and he did, and then the rain happened, and Bill got that little smile on his face. Like, this is exactly what I wanted.
The Patriots love the elements were a factor, and that works in their in their favor for defensive football. I was thinking like when the game started, I just kind of thought of past Patriots games where you see the fireworks go up in the stadium and then like the fog from that kind of settles over the stadium and stuff. And I just thought in my mind, I'm like, Brady's probably feeling like, man, it's all setting up well for Bill, and it's not going to be a game. Look, Tampa Bay loves to throw.
I just wish Antonio Brown would have made that catch at the end, because he wanted the touchdown.
Yeah, there were like two opportunities. I think one was might have been just overthrown, and then the one diving catch.
One, he got lost in the lights.
Okay.
He looked up. Yeah, and then,
so there you go. Two big, and it's very obvious that he is Tom Brady's go-to guy for the big play. He's looking for that guy more than just for the big play. He was hitting him underneath.
Top five wide receiver all time. He gets no respect. And
Tom Brady, hats off to Tom Brady for doing whatever he did to get this guy under control. And like now he's not a head case. Even though he looks like a head case, he'll make a catch, and you look at his eyes when he's looking at the camera, and you're like, he's still a little crazy.
But here's the thing: little guys have to be a little crazy. Yeah. To be amazing in the NFL. Like, look at Steve Smith. Like, that man was psycho. Yeah. But he would step to any player on the field for
He'll fight anybody. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
One of my favorite players of all time.
Yeah. Yeah, he's hilarious too on NFL Network. I don't think he really he just says whatever sometimes. But like, he does. He gives it to you straight on NFL Network, by the way. So I like him.
Brandon, I think Mac Jones is a Chad Pennington clone. I think he is very accurate. He can manage a team, keep a drive going. As we saw, he made 19 straight completions on Sunday night.
Insane, right?
I like what I'm seeing. He's a game manager for sure, but they got to have some more talent around him.
Yeah, what the Patriots thought that they were doing in the offseason to surround Cam Newton, I believe, with talent. I don't know if they, I don't know what they were thinking when they were signing like Aguilar and Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. And in my mind, I'm like, all right, Kendrick Bourne, right? You're paying all this money to these guys.
Cam was the best, has always been amazing throwing over the middle. It's the sidelines where he's
tight end,
where you have to be more accurate. So they're going to run a lot of double tight end slots, conflicting post routes underneath and crossing
the
safeties and linebackers.
They were going to do the offense that Carolina was doing and basically what they built around Cam last year. And it just didn't come to fruition. But Mac Jones did a good job. I think it's just he's really good with timing throws. If you get after him a bit, it will.
The one that I noticed that stuck out, it was the throw in the fourth quarter, and I think it was an out to either Jacoby Myers or Nelson Aguilar, and Mac had kind of drifted to the right, but he came back and threw to the left sideline.
Yeah.
And I remember actually being able to count the 1-1000, 2-1000, 3-1000 of the ball actually getting there.
Oh, it almost got picked.
Yeah. Like it was
late.
Slow.
Yeah.
We had that argument. He's just got no juice behind the ball. He's accurate. Right. He can place it very well. He's got good arc on the ball. But, man, he's a Chad Pennington clone.
That was exactly who he was coming into the NFL to begin with. A guy who he's going to show you things. He can navigate the pocket. He can move. He's not an athlete at all. He's not going to move around and run around. He's not going to give you that. But what he does really well.
Looks like a giant 12-year-old waiting to go on a slip and slide with his shirt off.
Right. He can navigate a pocket really well. And you notice that when he was at Alabama, and everybody can say what they want about that. You know, hey, they have the best offensive line talent in the country. And it's like, well, yeah, but when he was under pressure, you could see him slide away from the pressure, calmly, cool, collected, keep his feet set and just fire a completion down the field. So yeah, again, his arm strength, obviously underwhelming, but there's other ways to win. And
smiling. Go ahead. Finish.
No, you're fine. Go ahead.
Smiling 43-year-old Tom Brady scampering for 12 yards is my.
No, yeah. I feel like that was that felt like the most scripted thing I've ever seen. Like it that was great. That's going to be on a commercial from here. Like, I don't know. He's just this guy is hilarious. And we talked about his personality coming out after not being with the Patriots now. Yep. And he's just continuing to show that
he's letting out his inner Jimmy Buffett, man. He's just blossoming into a parrot.
He's an interesting
career. Thoughts here. New England's not a playoff team. I'm gonna put that there. It's not over.
They're gonna give people trouble though. they're going to give playoff teams everything.
They're going to be a spoiler at the end of the year. They're going to make a run, but they're going to, because the AFC is so stacked, I just think they're going to be a game or two out because of these early losses.
Yeah. I can see that.
This year, more than anything, a hot start is very valuable because the NFL is just stacked right now.
Honestly.
Minnesota Vikings, Cleveland Browns, you know, it's nice to say Kirk Cousins without having to talk about him for 20 minutes. But yeah, Kirk's MVP play went away this week.
Yeah, this is classic Kirk Cousins. He shows up, you know, sometimes he'll show up a couple weeks straight and then he has a game like this where he had the opportunity at the end, right? And he threw an interception at the end of the game. I didn't get to see this one, but yeah, I feel like the Browns, honestly, they're the ones that I'm more concerned about right now.
Yeah.
Just winning 14-7. You know, obviously Minnesota is a good football team, but you would expect the Browns to be able to take advantage of them a little bit more, especially on the back half of that defense. And they were unable to do that. So hats off to Minnesota, though. They did a good job defending Cleveland. And again, I am concerned, though. 14 points from the Browns. Are they still the AFC North favorite? Or were they your favorite? They were my favorite,
yes, still,
somewhat.
Just because they're so stacked. Well, I think we're seeing the same thing we saw last year early in the season. Baker Mayfield, he's a slow starter. And they're waiting for him to find his groove. And when that happens, I think the Browns move up a notch.
Yeah.
As a team. And I think that's just what they're waiting for right now. Is Baker start making those throws, those dynamic throws that he can make.
And Dalvin Cook is banged up too. Let's see. So when you're looking at from the Minnesota side, you got Dalvin Cook who's banged up. I mean, I don't know. What do you think about them being 1-3 at this point? You know, like what is going to happen?
Same thing as
last
year. Yeah. Except this year, the offense isn't sputtering, except this game. But the defense is just, you know, they missed that window. They had Harrison Smith was an elite safety for years. And now he's just lost a step. Anthony Barr signs a big contract because he looks like a young freak superstar playing that ex-roaming linebacker defensive end hybrid position. And then immediately just falls off the face of the planet.
Yeah.
I don't understand why no one ever brings that up. He got paid huge money, looked like an absolute star. And then as soon as he got paid, disappeared. Just hasn't done anything.
It's the way it goes, man.
Yeah, but no, everyone usually gives crap to people like that do that, but no one's ever brought Anthony Barr up. I never hear him getting crap for it. It's always Mike Zimmer's fault. Like I'm like, I don't know.
Like, yeah, it's silly, man.
Yeah,
it doesn't even. It doesn't make sense sometimes.
Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, who finishes with more rushing yards this year?
Oh, Nick Chubb should. As long as he's not.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Here's my thing with Kareem Hunt. He was at one time a top three back in the NFL. That doesn't go away. And with an elite offensive line, like he can do it. I wouldn't be surprised. You know, running back, it's just, they get hot. And Kareem is running just as good as he did back in Kansas City right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the 1-2 punch was real last year. The 1-2 punch is still real this year. I think that's really the big driving factor, especially in the AFC North. As the season goes along, it gets colder, you know, tough physical football. That's what the Browns are playing. I think that actually they're number one in the NFL in rush yards per game. Ironically, usually that is something that Baltimore holds. So I need to pull that up to confirm that, but regardless, they're up there. And there's nothing that surprises me in that regard. I just think that when it comes down to it, we need Baker Mayfield. If you're a Browns fan, or if you're somebody who's a believer in the Browns winning the AFC North, you're going to want to see Baker step up and do more. Now, in terms of quarterback play in the AFC North, I think Lamar head and shoulders right now. Then obviously Burrow, Baker. I have Burrow and Baker kind of like neck and neck.
I'd put Burrow over Baker right now.
Overall. But again, offensive line matters, man.
Yeah.
And Baker's going to get the time he needs as a passer when he needs it. versus Burrow.
But the fact that Burrow is doing it now without the offensive line is why.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And again, opponents matter. Who Cincinnati's playing is going to matter. They're 3-1. I mean,
they're 3-1.
They're on top of the North.
Last year, I was all over them. I loved the baby Bengals offense. It was so fun. And then I was all over in the offseason. You know, it sounds like I'm ringing my own bell here, but I loved them drafting Ja'Marr Chase. I loved seeing Burrow going out and saying, no, bring this guy in. He's a difference maker. And rarely does a wide receiver get drafted that high and come in and produce like a number one wide receiver.
Yeah. Well,
he's the number one wide receiver there. And it, from the jump.
Yeah. I mean, T. Higgins is out too. So that's just going to, I don't know how long he's going to be out, but that just further, you know, increases the usage. So
4 touchdowns, 4 games.
Yeah. And I mean, when I'm doing like Bengals games for participation for Sports Info Solutions, I noticed that Chase runs a lot of go routes. Dude is constantly going long. Even when he's not being targeted, he's always, you know, they're setting him up. And
bro,
they're
just
really stretching the defense as much as they can with him.
Everyone was saying that, like, they didn't know if Chase was worthy of that pick. They didn't know because guy takes a year off, makes you nervous, obviously. But the biggest thing with me is Justin Jefferson came in and had the greatest rookie wide receiver season ever. This guy was twice the player Justin Jefferson was at LSU. It just, that was the thing that I was like, he's not a miss. The guy just like smashed the rookie record books and he was better than that guy.
Yeah, I think that, you know, the receiver class, this last receiver class in general, a lot of people, you know, Chase is, that's not a miss. Okay.
Yeah.
Should the Bengals maybe have, you know, Rashawn Slater would have been a nice get. But again, you're getting the guy that your quarterback wanted, right?
And the one thing, it doesn't always work, but the one position, more than any other position, that you can build a guy from scratch into a decent starter is offensive line.
Yeah.
You could take a guy that's an undrafted free agent if you have a good offensive line coach and teach him the basic skills to be a decent starter.
The Bengals aren't terrible, so to speak, on the offensive line. More run blocking that I'm noticing than anything. They can't really garner a lot through the middle. Joe Mixon has struggled.
Yeah.
They can do some stuff. They can get to the outside. They can run some toss sweeps. They can get their linemen moving into space and things like that. And then Joe Mixon, that's where he gets some of his chunk plays. He's not doing it between the tackles as much. That's where the Bengals really need to work the most is
well, and
inside.
Also we're seeing the thing that I think is changing this offense for the better is Joe Burrow's taking shots downfield now with Ja'Marr Chase. He didn't throw a ball over 40 yards in the air his rookie year.
And what's great is you have Tyler Boyd underneath and there's your binky when you needed, you know, a quick first down on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9. So
baby needs a bottle.
You're right. I mean, the Bengals offense is nice. And let's not look, I thought the defense was going to be much improved, even though everybody was kind of like, no, they're not. They did struggle a little bit without Jesse Bates this last game against the Jaguars. But once he's back and everything's all good for them,
Jesse Bates is a top five safety. People just don't know it yet. Cause he's
nobody did. They're Cincinnati. Like, who's Jesse Bates?
Yeah, exactly. San Francisco 49ers 21, Seattle Seahawks 28. This one wasn't as close as the score. San Francisco jumped out early and then just disappeared. Just everything stopped on offense. Jimmy G ended up getting knocked out of this game. The youngin' Trey Lance came in, threw 2 touchdowns, but only completed 50% of his passes. You saw what we saw in the preseason. Guy's dynamic, electric when he steps on a football field. If he can start to learn to break down coverages, it's over.
Oh,
it's just
and that
it's
might,
over.
That's the process that's going to be difficult. And that's where, you know, we had the discussion before. You know, they want to get Jimmy G back. They don't want Shanahan probably does not want to say, okay, Trey Lance is going to be the starter right now. I think he wants to give him playing time. And I think he likes what he's able to do when he has both guys. Jimmy G, he's the game managing quarterback that's going to help get you down the field and score points. And we've seen where Jimmy G comes out and Trey Lance comes in for red zone stuff. You know, I think Shanahan likes that this year, but there might be a point where he says, all right, let's just say they're playing Arizona this week. They lose one more.
There's no point in continuing to play Jimmy G if they lose one more in a row. There's no point.
I mean, you're 2-3. You're not completely.
The kid needs reps.
You're right. You're right. But Shanahan needs wins.
No.
Shanahan needs wins.
He's safe.
Right. He's safe. But as a coach, you want to win more than you just want to. You don't want to be at the mercy of, it's okay.
Yeah, but I have a counter for you with that. It looks worse when you trade 2 first-round picks to move up to get your guy, and then your guy's not the guy.
But your guy, but that's a huge mistake. All right, I want to point this out. Don't, if they think that way, and I don't think that they are thinking that way. I think Shanahan knows what he has in Trey Lance, and guess what? I believe that there's a lot of people out there that are like, gonna write Trey Lance off already, thinking he might be the third or fourth best quarterback in this draft, maybe even the fifth, right? He could be the best by the end of it. Why? Because we've talked about it. He has amazing arm strength. He's an athlete.
And when you say cannon, like, I legit mean a cannon.
He's got the Josh Allen, Justin Herbert arm talent, right?
Yeah. On the run, 60 yards.
Right.
Yeah.
But he needs to develop. He's in the situation where he can develop. It's
looks
not
like a running back in the open field.
Yeah. And he's a physical runner. He's not, he's more of a Josh Allen, Justin Herbert style runner, he's quicker. Yeah. Again, look, a lot of people, there needs to be some patience with him. Give him some time. Let Shanahan work with him. Don't throw him out there until absolutely necessary. If you want to, you can. Don't break this kid, because he will be the future of this team. Keep Shanahan as your coach. Obviously, the 49ers don't want to move on from him. I would not do that. I would try to figure out what the hell is going on with the injuries, because how many years in a row has it been that they can't keep a running back healthy? A lot of guys, not just the running back position. I mean, all over the team. So they got to get that figured out. I don't know. They've been one of the worst. They've been in the worst position, I think, the past couple years with injuries among all NFL teams. So you got to get that sorted out.
Their secondary is getting torched.
Yeah.
Just like this.
That's another problem.
Oddly enough, like, this was probably one of the better games their secondary's played. Even though Russ threw for 2 touchdowns, like, Russ just did what he had to do to get the win here. I remember
it's mind boggling.
Saturday night, I texted our group chat for the podcast and I said, did you know Russ is 16-2 or whatever against 16-4, I think it was, against the 49ers in his career?
Yeah, it's
crazy. I was like, yeah, slam that Seattle Seahawks.
That's interesting. I didn't even know that. Maybe you did say. Oh, I do remember that.
Yeah, yeah. I texted Saturday night because I heard that stat, and I was just like, "What?
Wow. Is that real? Like, wow."
Impressive.
Sheesh. He's been around a while. I keep forgetting how old he is.
Seahawks. They rebounded, staying alive here. One sneaky thing for fantasy owners that I will put out there right now: Alex Collins may be the lead back by the end of the season. Just gonna throw that out there.
I seen the one run he had.
He's starting to catch balls out of the backfield, which, you know, isn't Carson's specialty. He started doing much better than that last year. But I loved Alex Collins in Baltimore. Then he got arrested and everything went down the crapper. The guy's got talent.
Yeah.
So, and he's running with purpose. If you give me a back that runs with purpose, you know, you never know.
He's had a good offseason. You know, I was following that. I know. One of our dynasty leagues, I snagged him up as soon as I could. So, yeah, definitely grabbed him to hang on to him and see what would happen. But, yeah, I could see that being the case. Chris Carson's a good player, man. If he's healthy, if he gets hurt.
I love Chris Carson. He won me a fantasy championship. I'll forever love Chris Carson.
Yeah, he's a good player. I think that if he gets hurt, though, they're in a better spot with Alex Collins instead of, you know, a drop off to whoever, DJ Dallas and whoever else is back there. So
Trey Sermon, 19 carries, 89 yards, looked a lot better in this one than the week before.
Yeah.
Elijah Mitchell comes back next week. Do you see a split? Do you see they still lean on Trey?
I would split if I was Shanahan, only because you don't want, you just look at the injury factor. And I would just say, go into the game with a mindset of this guy's going to get this many touches. This guy's going to get this many touches. We're going to sprinkle him in here and there, give him a blow. Let's not, you know, let's not get everybody beat up any more than they already are. So
yeah,
I would be careful, because obviously whatever's happening in San Francisco is a nightmare with your running backs. You're going through them like crazy. So mm-hmm. I would definitely do whatever I can to protect them.
Fantasy radar before we move on. Brandon Ayuk, are we panicking?
I would say yes.
That looks like a Pro Bowler the last 8 games his rookie year.
But I'd be a little patient with that, because you never know. Debo Samuel is having an incredible year. You pointed out the stat. What was his pace for receiving yards? Is that what like were you bringing him up?
300 yards, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. Well, we know that probably won't happen. But if it does, that'd be insane, right? And he is their offense right now.
Uh-huh.
Okay. He 100%. Is their offense right now. He's hard to defend. He can run the football. He can catch the football.
Like everyone used to say, Golden Tate was a running back after he caught the ball. Debo Samuel is Golden Tate on steroids.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah.
It's insane. Truer words have never been spoken, I suppose, when it comes to that. But Debo, if he goes down to injury, then Ayuk becomes that guy. It's weird to think about, but this offense is like schematically set up for certain guys to just be successful.
Yeah.
It's not set up for spreading it around and doing this or that. They scheme mm-hmm. things for certain guys in certain spots and certain plays, and Debo Samuel is that guy right now. So.
Yeah, I think he gets more involved as the year goes on, but a lot of people drafted him like 4th, 5th round this year.
I think it was Dylan in one of our leagues who I was having a conversation with. He was
he's a big San Fran fan, so he was bullish for good reason.
He was, yeah. I know. I told him, I was like, I wouldn't really, don't put all your marbles in that basket, so to speak, but who am I to talk sometimes when it comes to fantasy?
We all have those seasons, man. I've been there.
I know.
Los Angeles Rams 20, Arizona Cardinals 37. The Rams, honestly, I don't think there's a ton to say here about the Rams. They came off a huge win in against Tampa the week before, and you saw how amped Sean McVay was for that win. On that DeSean Jackson deep touchdown, he's sprinting down the sidelines, getting lit, cheering his guys on. You could tell he wanted to make a statement with that game. Like, yo, we're coming for you. He wanted that game so bad. And when you pour all your energy into a big game, sometimes you come out a little flat on the next one. That's what happened here. And I don't think the Rams realized they weren't playing the same Cardinals that they were last year. And honestly, man, I faded on him a little before the season started. Because you guys always scare me with Cliff, because Cliff just, his play calling is crazy sometimes. But Rodney Hudson
makes it so much
such balance to that offensive line.
Yeah. You brought that up.
I was all over that. I was the same.
You talked about
the
same
with the Chargers bringing in the center from Green Bay.
Yep.
A good center makes the rest of your line better.
It does. Yep. The communication, they help the quarterback. They point things out. They're the guy who basically, they point out things that are going on in front of them, you know, the front seven of a defense, and they're the guys who are quarterbacking that whole offensive line. So yeah, you're right. And it does matter. And we talked about, you know, the difference between having a rookie or a second year starter at center versus, you know, somebody like Rodney Hudson out there, and that is a big deal. So spot on. It helps Kyler Murray even more, and you have to look at that factor too, even in the passing game. Having a guy who can call out protections in front of you like that, and it just takes pressure off of you as a player. And when we talk about Kyler Murray, not to ramble on off subject, I want to throw it out there, the dude is just incredible. And
now everybody who thought betting favorite for MVP now over Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and you talked about the Cliff Kingsbury thing. I think that he ultimately is the guy who will save Cliff Kingsbury in general. And look, every successful coach out there not all of them, so to speak, but most of them end up with a guy like this, right? Yeah. They're successful because they have their guy.
And a good quarterback can make you a better coach because it opens up different visions, different avenues.
This
different
kind of quarterback definitely does.
They can make it look easy sometimes. Yeah. I bring up Bill Simmons one more time. He dropped a nugget here that I really liked because he said right now, Patrick Mahomes and Kyler Murray are the only two players where you can scheme against them and do everything perfectly, and it doesn't matter. They will still succeed.
They create.
Yeah, they're creators.
They create.
Like, I feel like Lamar's there too, but he's just not the passer that they are. But he's obviously
he does it a different way.
Specifically Kyler Murray, because his passing has taken that next level. He's so accurate. While on the run, too. It's unbelievable.
In the pocket. Everybody makes fun of him for being this little dude. He finds a way. Like, he can see, he can see things. Like, he's still able to do the things that he does. Again, when something's not there, the ability to create, like Russell Wilson. Look, the Seahawks are the greatest example of a team that you would say they're not that great offensively, right? They haven't been, but imagine what they would be without Russell Wilson. So they have their moments where he bails them out. Kyler Murray is doing that and more. Like, he's not only he's bailing them out of bad situations in the moment, and he's not allowing his team to fall apart offensively. Creativity or no creativity from the coaching staff, right? And that's something that needs to be investigated because.
And can we talk about how dynamic, not dynamic, but how nice the signing has been of AJ Green for that offense?
Yeah.
Because he Rondale Moore, dynamic athlete, DeAndre Hopkins, dynamic athlete, Christian Kirk, fire speedster. The fact that AJ Green, a Hall of Fame wide receiver, is being guarded by fourth cornerbacks. Just chuck it over here. I'll get you a touchdown. It's amazing. I love it.
You have to, when they put four or five receivers on the field like that, what are you going to do? You have to trot out your fourth another corner that you might not want on the field. And there's your liability. It makes it a lot easier to target a guy like that. Then you're getting man coverage. You're forcing it. You're dictating the defense. You're telling them exactly what they're going to have to do. And not letting them do what they want to do. And that makes you even more dynamic. And when you have a quarterback who can put the ball any freaking place on the field, unbelievable.
Chase Edmonds also on pace for 85 receptions this year. Has yet to score a touchdown. Number 11 in PPR scoring in fantasy. But Chase Edmonds has really stepped up and filled what Drake was last year. And Connor's been the goal line threat. It's a great balance.
It's insane.
I've been watching the moves that push you over the top.
The Connor, James Connor coming in literally for red zone carries inside the 10.
Mm-hmm. And JJ Watt has really added that spirited veteran leadership to that. Like, you could tell the team just swarms around him a little bit. Like, he's not putting up the sack numbers, but he's still making a difference, applying pressure, taking on two blockers, opening it up for the rest of the guys. That's the guy. It was a great signing.
And that's a huge thing. And Watt's not he's not some young spry dude, but he's still a factor.
Fantasy question. Robert Woods, are we panicking?
I would say, yeah.
Yeah. Van Jefferson, who I loved coming out of Florida. The moment you start saying Keenan Allen comparisons to me with the route running, I was like, oh, yeah, give me. I'm all over that.
You want to be all over that.
And he didn't take – I thought he was going to take a jump last year. He didn't.
But sometimes it takes that extra year.
Exactly. Right? Well, you saw it in the playoffs. He started making big plays in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, all right. And then now we're starting to see him emerge as a threat. He's had two big games. Yep. And he's turning in – to their deep threat, kind of next to DeSean Jackson.
It'll
like Stafford's looking for him down the field.
Woods will show up, but
yeah, he will.
Again, there's just with Cooper Kupp healthy.
That's the thing. I think consistently he's gonna eat into Woods's production before he eats into Cooper's production. That's what I'm worried about.
Yeah, and Stafford loves
Higbee is also taking legit targets now. So
because Stafford's he's the old guard, man. He's looking for the tight end.
I would say if you could get 75 cents on the dollar for Robert Woods, I would trade him now. He's going to have a couple big games. He's going to have two, three where you'd be like, but If you're looking for that week to week, I just don't think it's going to be fantasy. There. Don't think it's going to be there. Before leaving this, I'm not taking too much from this win. It was a big win for the Cardinals. Give them a lot of respect. But like I said, I think the Rams came out with a little bit of malaise coming off the big win. Until I see the next matchup, I don't really think.
But that could be my bias against Cliff Kingsbury, who is really – I don't think that this is the Cardinals team that collapsed last year. I really don't.
No,
I think this is a better – this is a playoff team.
Definitely they've taken a step. Yeah. The things that I worry about that I saw in the first 2 weeks was their fading in the second half, the jump out, hot, on fire, sputter a little bit in the second half. But they didn't do that this game. They kept putting the fire on against probably the best team they played. So they can keep going like that, keep showing improvement.
Oh,
that's a Super Bowl.
This is a playoff team right now. Now anything can happen.
I mean, did
it's
I
a long
just say
season?
Yeah.
Did you say Super Bowl contender?
I did. Man, imagine a Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray Super Bowl. That'd be fun.
I mean, but we all know that ain't gonna happen.
We don't know.
I won't rule it out because anything can happen. It's a long season, but I mean, I think Tampa's got question marks. I think that there's just so many things. This season so far has shaped up just in the first 4 weeks to be kind of not exactly what I was looking for. There's some things, but Tampa doesn't look as
I'm not
great
worried about
or dominant.
Tampa was a late bloomer last year. I think
right.
The same
it's
things.
A long season again. Guys
and
will get healthy.
We don't see how much depth is important till halfway through the season because that's when everyone starts getting nicked up.
Tampa does.
Tired. They got more depth than anyone else.
Yeah.
Anyone else.
Yeah.
And it's not close. So that's where you're going to see them start surging is halfway through the season.
You're
and that really
right.
takes so. Los Angeles Chargers 28, Las Vegas Raiders 14. Flex on them. I love this. I said it on the preview show that the Chargers in the past year, they're either going to win this game coming off a big win by like multiple touchdowns, keep it rolling, or they're just going to chalk up a bad one. Because sometimes they do that after winning a big game because they get a little cocky. But they might be the real deal. Yeah. They needed this one. That defense stepped up. Derek Carr was playing MVP football, and Joey Bosa came out talking schmack. Afterwards, he said, one, he went after the refs for how blind they were. Cool, whatever. The refs, the refs are the refs. We're going to hear that every year. But Derek Carr, I've gotten a lot of crap on this show from you guys for not being a Derek Carr fan. And, Joey Bosa put into words what I guess I couldn't. When he gets hit, like one or two times, good solid ones, he gets a little scared.
But listen, a lot of guys do that, though.
Yeah.
But I do believe it. And given his injury history, or at least what happened to him, I wouldn't be surprised if he's got some PTSD in his mind. Like, I want to avoid that because, look, he is having an MVP level year so far, and he is doing a hell of a job carrying the Raiders when they need him to come through. I know he didn't come through.
And he didn't
even
have a terrible game. He 21 for 34. 196 yards, 2 touchdowns. Where the Vegas Raiders lost this game, the Chargers are one of the worst defenses against the run. Josh Jacobs had 13 carries for 40 yards.
Yeah.
That's where they lost the game.
I don't think Jacobs is all the way there yet. They're saying that he is, and he's going to be out there. I think he's just working through it, so to speak. And I don't think he'll be 100%, but he does give them their best chance, I think. As a running back, Kenyon Drake hasn't really shown up and done much, but again, that is not going to win you. That's not going to win you the division. You're going to have to run the football at some point, right? The Chiefs are starting to do it, by committee somewhat, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire, in this last game, he actually showed some stuff.
Yeah.
He's starting to step up and do some things. So I'm not completely, I don't know who's going to win the West. All right. Like I can't say. I felt pretty good about the Raiders, and then their defense last night was like suspect, right?
Yeah.
The Chiefs defense is suspect, but then sometimes the best defense is a great offense, and they have a great offense, and they've got the quarterback who can just dominate and take over games, and their defense can do enough. The Chargers, their defense is good. Can they continue to be what they were last night consistently? If they do that, they could win this division. They have the quarterback for it. He was a little smiley at times last night. I don't know if you noticed that when you were watching the game.
Yeah,
I'm like, is he smiling or is that his mouthpiece? But I'm pretty sure he was smiling constantly, even after getting hit. But definitely a super talented player, Justin Herbert. I would say that right now it is the Chiefs in the West and in the Chargers, but you're going to have to run the football, right?
Yeah.
Austin Eckler, he's your guy. Eckler, he can do it.
He's looking
right. Beastly. And he can run it. He can catch it. If he's healthy, this team is scary. And this team could make a run.
Yeah, for sure. No, 100%. Mike Williams, they put the clamps on him here. You really saw them. They doubled a lot during the game.
He's a good player, too. And he's really having a year. Right. And
if he can take double coverage.
In terms of fantasy.
Yeah, if he can take double coverage, that's huge for their offense.
Yeah.
Are we worried about Keenan Allen? Is he starting to take a step down? Or is it just he hasn't found the offensive fit yet?
I would just say Herbert's finding the open man.
Yeah.
I noticed that last night. It didn't matter. There were guys I never heard of catching passes. Well, one guy, I can't remember his name because I never heard of him, but there was a guy who caught a pass last night, maybe a tight end or something that I'm like, what?
Actually,
not Parham. I know who Parham
is. I was going to say.
I know who Parham is.
Steven Anderson.
Yeah, Steven Anderson was the guy.
34-yard catch,
yeah. Yeah, I'm like, okay. So he's finding the open man, and that's
still
a good sign.
For Herbert to start hooking up with Jalen Gutton on the
– Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He caught one. I seen one last night. I don't know.
Yeah, 9-yard catch. That was it.
Okay. Yep, the one catch. So, dude, when you have a quarterback that can find the open man, doesn't matter who it is, you're in good shape. And when it matters most, your Keenan Allens, your Mike Williams, he's gonna find them.
Yeah. Before we move on, Carolina Dallas. I just want to throw that game out there. Man, Dallas.
Yeah.
Impressive. Zeke looking like old Zeke. Dak showing that he can throw to anyone.
Oh, yeah.
And get another, success. I mean,
another. What did we just say?
Kellen Moore. He knew where their strengths were. And so they started going to the tight ends.
And look, Dak gets a lot of credit, should get a lot of credit. Look, Kellen Moore is a heck of a play caller. Dak is your at the line of scrimmage. He sees it, he checks into something different. He is that kind of a quarterback, and he may lack in some areas physically, but at the same time, the dude is, his mind. He has the mind for the quarterback position, and very impressive what Dak's been doing so far.
100%. Sam Darnold, I think, man, I'm so glad to see him, succeeding and actually, putting a team into contention. What he did after getting almost knocked out of the game, went into the blue tent. They looked at him for a concussion and then coming back in and throwing those two late touchdowns, not letting the game get out. I love this young Panthers team, man. I love this young Panthers team. And the fact they lost one of their best young corners in Horn. And
CMC's out.
Yeah. I'm telling you, I was on them for that wild card playoff. I still think they're going to get it.
Yeah, I think, again, we talked about it before, him pairing up with Joe Brady. Look at what Joe Brady did at LSU 1 year with Joe Burrow. Burrow the year before was average. He was projected after his first year to be like a fifth or sixth round pick. And then within 1 year, what Joe Brady did with Joe Burrow at LSU, turning him into the number one overall pick, is one of the most miraculous things ever. Not only that, the greatest offense in college football history at LSU in one season, and a 15-0 record, national championship, comes to Carolina. Now he has, in his second year, Sam Darnold, and we're seeing the results, right, of what a good offensive mind can do. Whether he's simplifying the scheme for him or not, whatever is going on behind the scenes is working right now, and you're seeing the fruits of that. So I was in the corner too.
Sam Darnold has an elite arm.
Yes.
A special arm. It's the vision. Like, he threw some dumb picks.
He was
USC.
Supposed to be.
Yeah. He was one of Mel Kiper's highest rated prospects ever. And he's still only 23 years old. the guy's got the talent. And with when you put an elite player with a elite offensive coordinator, I just, you know, all the writing was there. I was like, it should work. It should work. And it's working.
It's a home run.
Yeah.
It 100%. Is. When you look at it, when you want to project things, Woody, or anybody who's listening, when you really want to project things, you really have to look at it that way. And you got to take your shot. Sometimes you're going to call it right. But the way to look at it is, look, this looks like a good correlation here when these two get matched up. And it's starting to look really, really solid. So I like what Carolina's doing. Joe Brady will be a head coach probably next year somewhere. Maybe he's young. He's a young dude, but hey, you bring it up all the time. The youth movement in the NFL.
We're seeing coaches, the next class take over.
And that's good. We need it.
We do. Because it was getting a little musty there.
It makes the game better.
Yeah.
It makes the game better. For sure.
Well, guys, that's going to wrap up our Five Tool Sports weekend review of the NFL Week 4 action. And as always, look out for us on Thursday Night Football Preview, and we will have your Friday betting shows, and we will be talking some major smack about me and CJ kicking it off 60+%, 10 out of 16 games. He went 11 out of 16.
Hey, I'm 50%, you know?
Yeah, hey, not bad.
Not bad.
Nate?
I'm gonna make it back this week, I promise.
Step it up, bud. Step it up. Gotta catch up. But you'll hear more of that on Friday. Thanks for tuning in, guys. As always, check out Brandon's site, Football Scout 365. He does great work over there. And check out our website, the number 5toolsportspodcast.com. Let the music play. We out.
I couldn't stop if I wanted to. A 9 to 5 is something that I don't want to do. Sit in the cubicle.